Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Today, we will be trading away the White Sox. Everything must go. We're going to be talking about how we're in the glory days of the bunt single, bunt batting average on the rise. And I'm going to look at pitchers who are having drastically different results and what's causing those results very quickly. At the end, it's Jimmy's Three Things, which is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. Thank you very much for tuning in. Sip of my coffee, and then we start. All right, around 30 minutes on the clock. Topic number one, let's trade the White Sox. It's very early, but you know, the Marlins already made their move. If you think about it, we're a quarter of the way to the deadline. Teams either, you know, if you know you're going to trade, you can go shop around. Apparently the Royals were also interested in a rise. So people are talking. This MLB Deadline News said, the White Sox are expected to trade right-hand pitcher Eric Fetty, right-hand pitcher Chris Flexen, right-hand pitcher Mike Clevinger, right-hand pitcher Michael Kopech, DH Eloy Jimenez, and outfielder Tommy Pham this summer, per Nightingale. So we're going to go trade these guys, okay? This is on a whim. I didn't put, like, you know, much thought. It's going to happen in live time as we're all talking about it, and then you guys are going to leave comments and let me know what you actually think with more thought-out stuff. So if you have never been to Baseball Reference's roster research page, this is what it looks like. It's a lot of colors and stuff, but this is the White Sox, and you can see all the yellow free agents in 2025. Well, that means that this is their last year on the White Sox. They're going to be a free agent at the end, so the White Sox can trade them and get anything in return. Honestly, a lot of these guys are just going to be like some minor leaguers or just salary relief this year, because if you trade a guy, you don't have to pay him the last 2 months of the season. So it could be like not a lot of return, but you're not winning. You're not retaining them. So teams will oftentimes just cut their losses and give that player a chance to go be on a winning team. So yeah, you're not going to get a lot of return. This everything must go White Sox sale is kind of like, oh, look at that, honey. And everything must go. Let's go check it out. And then you walk around, you're like, makes sense why everything must go. Oh, but look at that. That's cheap. Okay, let's grab that. That's what is going on here. So I copied this page and pasted it into my own Google sheet so I could just mess with it a little more. There you have it. And I prorated the 2024 salary to what teams would actually pay if they picked him up. Now, Andrew Benintendi, he's got this year and then three more. So he's not part of the sale. He's not traded. He's just, I don't know how I would do this. Let's just, he's out. Okay. Yoan Moncada, I think he's hurt right now. Luis Robert's really interesting because not only do you have this year for cheap, next year for cheap, you have a club option for $20 million the next 2 years. If they don't think they're going to extend him and make him part of the next wave of White Sox talent, then maybe they think about trading him, similar to Soto when the Nationals traded him when he had 3 years remaining or 2.5 years remaining. But that's pretty big. That's a big move. It sounds more like an off-season trade to me when you have more time to figure it out and all that, not a mid-season trade. Okay, so Eric Fetty, he's going to get traded. He's owed $2.4 million. If you prorate it, and this is if they get traded at the deadline. So if they trade him way earlier, then it's not that much money. I mean, I can change the formula to like, I don't know, 40% of the season, $3 million. You're looking around $3 million. And then you get Eric Fetty next year for $7.5 million. I already traded him to the Rays. They see those numbers and they're like, yeah, we get him this year and we get him next year and it's cheap and it's a project that people will be like, how did we turn him around? And I believe Eric Fetty, is that you even say his name? I think so. Fetty. I believe he just shut down the Rays earlier this year. So let's see, game log, 8.1 innings pitched against the Rays, only allowed 2 earned runs. So yeah, they like what they saw. They're already in talks. That's going to happen. The rest of these, Eloy will probably get traded, as that tweet said. The red means club option. So if you trade for him, you will get the option to grab him, but you have to pay him this price, $16.5 million for 2025, $18.5 million for 2026. But you don't have to do that. That's your option. So really a rental. John Brebbia for this year as a reliever, he's got a buyout. So if you don't pick up his $6 million option, you have to pay him $1.5 million as a buyout. Clevinger just made his debut. Tommy Pham, he's built to get traded. Tim Hill, reliever, if you want to try and tap into that. Flexen, the Rays probably pick him up in a package deal because he is not making a lot of money. Soroka, not sure what you're going to get there. Kopech is really interesting because he's got this year and next year available. So that's really interesting because I think he'll go. Next, what I'm going to do, we already traded Eric Fetty to the Rays. That's probably happens next week. I'm going to go, I want to look at teams, this page, and find teams because I think some of these players, since better talent will be available as more teams get out of it that are on the fringe right now because they're a little better. But some of these players might get traded for like the summer push before the deadline. We saw that happen with Giolito. The Twins did that with like Jaime Garcia or Lance Lynn in 2018 or something like that, the trade before the trade, obviously. So what teams right now are on the outs that are going to give it a go? Like the Blue Jays may try to pick someone up. And then if it still doesn't work out, then they have a lot to offer teams if they want to hit that button. Same with the Red Sox. They're in it. The Red Sox are good. I think the Red Sox are going to trade. Do they need a DH? Yoshida's been DHing. Do they want Eloy? Huh? Okay. Kansas City, we heard they were in on the Royals. We heard they were in on Arise. So they might be looking for some of these players. The Astros will probably pick someone up at some point. I don't think they're going to trade, but they could. They looking for first baseman. Maybe some. They're definitely looking for starters. Like they could go get Fetty if they think he's going to be good, or Flexen just to like bridge the gap. Who over here is going to pick up pieces? I don't know if the Giants or seller or buyers. Diamondbacks, they're all in. But I was looking at their roster, and I don't know where they necessarily need help. I was starting pitching. I don't think, you know, you can pick up Clevinger, see what he can give you for a little bit. Cubs and Brewers, they're pretty tight. That's a nice race. They're going to trade. They're going to pick up some people. The Mets are not going to be buyers. They want to sell. They're made to sell. So in the American League, all of the East is going to buy, but it's those teams that are like not guaranteed a playoff spot right now. If you go to this page, which has the odds of making the playoffs, like postseason odds is right here. And let's see, we get down into the Twins are 77%. They need some bats. Would they take Eloy? They've seen him. Sometimes you trade within division because they've seen what he can do, or you've seen him too much and you're like, nah. Would they take him? Let's do Twins. Optional. Slash. I'll do a slash here. Clevinger. Man, Clevinger to the Astros just sounds fun. Oh, but he's talked a lot of shit about them. And like had playoff series where he didn't like them. I don't think that matters. Stroman and the Yankees talked a lot of shit. Okay, bowing out. Pham? Back to the Diamondbacks? How's Jock doing? Jock Peterson. He's DHing. He's doing really well. Does Jock hit against... So Jock's not hitting against lefties. Who DHs against lefties? Alexander? Blaze Alexander. How did they use Pham last year? And Pham just played against everyone. Can you have too many DHs? Let's just throw Pham back to the Diamondbacks because everyone likes that storyline. He can platoon because Tommy Pham is a switch hitter. Correct? Correct, Jimmy? Are you correct? Or his splits? Oh, he bats right. He's got reverse splits, or the Mets tried to only use him against one side. They tried to platoon him, and then he was like, no, I want to hit both sides. That was the story with Pham. My bad. Okay, so him and Jock are the DHs in Arizona, and then the pinch hitters for other people? See, reverse splits last year. Had a much better batting at, or is that this year? Much better against right-handed pitching, which might not work well for the whole platooning with Jock situation. But last year, his splits were dead even. So he'll get there. He just needs the at-bats. I love it. I'm all in. Tommy Pham's going back to Arizona, and he's going to, down the stretch, him and Jock are going to be the rotating, platooning DH guys, and then they pinch hit for whoever in the lineup when that needs to happen. So Diamondbacks for Pham. Awesome. Fun times. Chris Flexen. Who needs pitching help for that cheap? Let's send him to the Central. Royals, do they need pitching help? Twins pitchers have actually been pretty good of late, I believe. Did you guys see Simon Woods Richardson start? Pretty good. Royals, because the Royals were in on a rise. They want one of these early guys. Just pick them up, see what can happen, maybe flip them. All right. Maybe he goes to the Royals. You know, the Royals roster. Because just a true rental. You can also throw him to the pen if you think he's going to go there. Has Flexen been pitching well? Is that something I need to look at? Chris Flexen. What a name. Yeah, I mean, he's got no innings accumulated. Oh, he's coming out of the pen a couple times. One bad outing here. We gave up 6 earned runs. Other than at the start, didn't start that hot. Okay, so he started 3 games. Wasn't going so hot. They threw him to the bullpen, Flexen. Said, go figure some stuff out, man. And since then, in his last 4 outings, 2 from the pen, 1 from the start, he's got 1.64 ERA, a 4.61 FIP. That's not good. The Royals, take a chance. I like it. Not putting too much thought into it. He's going to the Royals. They might flip him. Flexen going to Flexen. Dumbass. Type that. Robbie Grossman probably not getting traded. Soroka, I don't know. I don't know. Braves, just for the vibes. Throw him in the bullpen. Don't use him. Kopech is interesting because he has next year too. So probably the only one that's going to get you a decent price tag besides Fetty from the Rays. But the Rays will just give you guys that, like, they know will pitter out, but you don't. And I'm going to put my bias aside here and not let it affect what I do, but I am going to trade Kopech to the Yankees without considering a single other option. Great. Good news. Because I tell you why, the Yankees bullpen is all coming off the boards next year. Look at this. You got Tommy Canley. He's a free agent next year. Clay Holmes, he's a free agent next year. Loaiza, he's gone. Caleb Ferguson is gone. So who do they have in the pen that's still around? Tonkin, great. Victor Gonzalez, great. And Lou Trevino's gone. That's all. F. Frost is around. So they need a guy who can do it. And they'll take Kopech. Let's see. Kopech, baseball savant. They need a guy that they can get that's cost-controlled for next year, too. And again, I didn't consider another team because I'm not letting my bias come into play here. Kopech throws a four-seamer and a slider. He's introduced a cutter this year that he didn't throw the years before. And the four-seamer, 381 slugging, 391 slugging. So, yeah, they'll just turn him into a two-seam guy instead of the four-seam. That's what Matt Blake will do, and the Yankees will get Kopech. That's great news for me. Great. I'm glad I did this exercise. Good get. There's a lot of other relievers out there. Tanner Scott can be traded. That can be traded early, I'm saying, because the Marlins already started this. So, Luis Robert, not traded. That would be a big one. I don't know where he would go. I'd have to not do it in this manner. Garrett Crochet, are they going to trade him? They got 2 more years left. Sometimes that seems like more middle of the season. Okay, so, Eloy Twins, Red Sox, they need a DH. They might not, but like an early DH. But what are they doing with Yoshi and all those players? Their lineup. I'm so unfamiliar with what the Red Sox are up to. Knowingly, I admit that. I'm unfamiliar. I looked at their batting orders page. And I was like, what? Whoa. I got to familiarize myself with this. Who else needs a DH? Let's go. There's a page where you can see like OPS, team OPS by position. Who needs a DH? The Rays, do they grab Eloy? They currently have the worst OPS of all DHs. Cardinals, Rockies, Cincinnati, Texas. Does Texas grab Eloy? Texas Rangers, where you at? Who's been DHing for you? Wyatt Langford, currently on the 10-day IL. Batting orders. Langford. Now, Heim, when he's not catching. Seager got a day. Garcia gets a day. Okay. So they're just rotating days right now while Langford's out. Eloy, you're a Ranger. Bam. Why not? See what you can do. Maybe they double trade. Maybe not. Rangers. Done. There we go. I've traded the White Sox. The exercise is complete. All of this will come true. You will come back to this episode and say, oh my God, Jimmy nailed it. Moving on to the next topic. As I was sorting through some of this stuff and I was in the splits for teams' offensive pages trying to find out who needs what, who's got what, I saw that they have a split for like bunt hits. And then I looked at the league bunt hits and I was like, whoa, are bunt singles awesome? The Yankees are bunting more. So then what I did is I scraped all the data. It only goes back to 1988 on Baseball Reference for plate appearances where the batter bunted, at-bats where he bunted, because sack bunts don't count, runs scored on bunts, hits on bunts, doubles on bunts, RBIs on bunts, batting average on base percentage, slugging, OPS, total bases, ground double plays, sack hits. And obviously with rule changes, no more a DH in the National League, no more pitches hitting. And now with shift changes, the bunt is changing in front of our eyes. You know, it's wildly different now. And I have some graphs where, you know, first I'll change this and we'll just show you like bunt attempts from 1998 on. So you can see the chart that bunt attempts were already on the decline. In 2011, there was 3,216, and then it just started going down, 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 all the way down, all the way down, all the way down. And then in 2019, we're at 16,000, or 17,000 if you round up. Then 2020 hits, and there's no pitchers hitting in 2020, and it's a shortened season, so we go way down. And then the last year of pitchers hitting, it's 1,583. I was saying 1,000 before, bad at numbers. 1,583 bunts in 2021. Then pitchers stop hitting, and we go down to 1,100 in 2022, and in 2023, 1,100 again. This year, we're only a month in, but 221. So anyway, you can see that bunts are going down, right? Normal stuff. Now, let's look at batting average, or we'll go on sack bunts. Sack bunts, way down. Way down. They had a nice peak in a whatever month, you know, this is 1993, 1,800 sack bunts. And then those were charting down. Even while pitchers were still able to hit, teams were like, not worth it to give the other team an out. Tango Tiger told us, it's not worth it. And now we're still down. So, I mean, yeah, we're way far down in sack hits. What I thought was funny was because of all those sack bunts are gone, batting average on bunt, all-time high, baby. Golden years of the batting average on the bunt. Last year, batters had a batting average of 510 when they laid down a bunt. 523 in 2022. So far this year, 556. Because no one's doing it for an out anymore. So that's why. It's not like actually groundbreaking. But also the fielding restrictions might help because, no, they wouldn't help. because those would have baited bunts more, but they didn't. People didn't care. Well, anyway, what I found out was, look at this weird blip in 2000 and 2001 where batting average on bunts was so high. It jumps up from 400 to 520, then 2001, 525, then right back down. I tried to Google like rule changes in 2000, all this stuff, and I couldn't figure out why this happened. The only thing I know is that in 2002, Tango Tiger released his like win expectancy chart, which teams, this is like some teams' Bible now, where, you know, that just literally gives you the situation. Win expectancy 2002 by Tango Tiger. So it's the bottom of the seventh inning and you're down by one run. There's zero outs and no one on base. Your win expectancy is 353. Oh, they just walked the first batter. There's a runner on first. No outs. Your win expectancy has jumped to 431. Congratulations. Do you want to bunt that guy to second base? Because if you do, and then there's one out, down by one, runner on second base, your win expectancy actually drops from 431 to 399. Much to your dismay. Hey, manager, it's the top of the ninth inning, and you're in a tie game, and there's zero outs and a runner on second base. Okay? Top of the ninth inning, zero outs, tie game, runner on second. Your win expectancy is 328. But if you bunt that guy to third, and now you have a guy, one out, if you have one out, still tie game, and a runner on third base, your win expectancy actually goes down to 321. I'm Tango Tiger. Never bunt. Basically what happened. This was basically just dunking on giving away outs, which whatever. Probably right, but also there are times when it helps. But maybe that's why this dropped. I have no idea. I found this chart interesting. I just thought, oh, wow, batting average on bunts, highest it's ever been, maybe ever, because pitchers aren't just giving away an out all the time. Now, here's an out. Here's an uncompetitive out. What strategy we are implying? Here's an uncompetitive out. Now, bunting for a hit, cool. I like it. Plate appearances where a bunt happened. The Cardinals are number one with 15, then the Padres with 13, then the Guardians with 13, Nationals 13, White Sox 13, Mets 12. Now, bunt hits, Guardians have 7, Padres have 6. Batting average on bunt, Yankees 1.000 with 3 sacks and 5 bunt singles. Fuck yeah. Way to go, Yankees. Same with the Mariners. They only have 4, though, and the Yankees have 5, so in your face. Cardinals have 8 sack bunts. White Sox have 8 sack bunts? Why? Anyway, I was looking at this page, third topic, pitchers who have changed their stuff. I was looking at this page, and I was trying to find, so expected batting average for pitchers, and I was trying to find pitchers where that year-to-year change thus far has been significant. So Aaron Bummer has a 331 expected batting average. He had a 218 last year, so he's currently got the change the worst way. I'm going to go look for the best. We got Luis Ortiz, Hayden Wesnecki, Kyle Mueller, Adam Ottavino. Let's see if there's enough data on these guys, because usually it could be like a big pitch mix change. Maybe batting average isn't the best way to go about this, because I was finding some way cooler ones before. Yeah. I'm going to change it from batting average to X on base. Take walks and just like hits and stuff and find out who's been the best. Adam Ottavino is currently great year-to-year change. The best in the league. Then Hayden Wesnecki, then Kyle Mueller. Shane Bieber, too soon. Joe Jimenez. Let's see if they changed anything about their pitch mixes. If you look at here, last year, Ottavino was sinker, sweeper, and the sweeper now, those were his main two, and then to to lefties, he probably did something else. But now the sweeper and the sinker are just dancing. He upped the sweeper a ton. He found like a nice mix. If you look at versus righties, he's a righty. And he's always been pretty good against righties. And did I wonder if this mix changed the same? And then he changed it to get out lefties. Loading. The screen is loading. Yeah, so this is pretty much the same on righties. It's mostly sinker and then the sweeper. It's a little closer, but lefties, was there a big change then? Because the sweeper jumped up like crazy. Yep. So the sweeper is now his primary pitch against lefties. And last year it was the cutter, which is now his fourth pitch used against lefties. Now he is throwing just a ton of different pitches at lefties, and he did that last year too, as opposed to a couple years ago where he just stayed with that sinker. So I wonder how that's doing. So the sweeper to lefties is, it's got 500 slug, but not a good batting average. I think that's small sample size. That's cool. That's a nice change. So he just changed the way he's attacking lefties, but continued to attack righties the same way. Let's check out what Hayden Wesnecki is doing. Good savant page, because he's getting better results. And you can see not much. The sweeper and the four seam, it's still the same pitch mix. Those are his one and two. I wonder if he's got righty lefty stuff going on that he changed. Righties are getting 53, getting sweepers 53% of the time, then four seam, then sinker. And lefties are getting at all four seam way more. So when he's facing lefties throwing the four seam, when he's facing righties throwing the sweeper. That's not that crazy. Wheeler's not crazy either. Let's check the other way. Let's see some guys that are doing poorly at this. AJ Puck, Hector Neris, Will Smith. Almost want like starting pitchers. Tanner Scott. He's a fun one. He might get traded. So we can. James Paxton went to the Dodgers. They kind of mess with you sometimes. Let's check out Tanner Scott and the Marlins because he's having a decent year. So he flipped his script. Four-seamer is now his primary pitch, and the slider is his secondary. They're still close, and the last three seasons, he was slider over four-seamer. So that's giving him good results. And I wonder, yep, the righties are seeing four-seamers more than sliders, so that means the lefties got to be seeing way more four-seamers. Yeah, that's easier to throw a four-seamer more. I feel like that's better for longevity anyway. So that's the mix, the change Tanner Scott made. James Paxton, lefty, on the Dodgers. Did they do anything to his mix? Not really. They upped the fastball from 56% to 64%. Knuckle curve got upped. Cutter's down. What's troubling him? Ooh, this pitch. The cutter. He doesn't like it. Batters love it. Look at those numbers. 429 batting average and 857 slugging off the cutter. There were some other good pitch mix changes that I found in my prep work for this that I can't find right now. What was I sorting it by? X-ISO? Taiwan Walker? Oh, yeah. Look at his change. Look at his pitch mix change. Last year, he was split finger 33% of the time. It was number one pitch. It's down to his fourth most used pitch this year. Okay. And his most used pitch is a cutter, which was his, I don't even know, his third or fourth last year. Sinker stays his second. That's a big change, and I wonder if it has to do with the handedness. Because a lot of times pitchers, their pitch mix, it's different for a righty and a lefty. Like they have different arsenals, basically. And then it's, you know, a righty will study this and that. And that's why sometimes some hitters that are really good lefties, they like hitting against lefties because you only have two pitches to choose from. Whereas like if you're a lefty facing a righty, you got way more. So versus righties, he's throwing his sinker a ton of the time. And not getting good results as of now. And split fingers. So righties are just kind of crushing him. They're not hitting the cutter or the four-seamer at all for Taiwan Walker. Lefties this season. So maybe you should change that mix up. Or you just stay with it if you believe in it. Lefties are getting the cutter and the four-seamer and the split finger. And is a split finger just getting fucking crushed this year? This is my last thing I'll look up that I'm going to get out of here. I think Taiwan Walker's split finger is just getting crushed. Why won't it go? Why won't it load? I want to see the split finger only. Taiwan Walker split finger, 555 batting average, 439 expected batting average, 889 slugging, 941 expected slugging, 10% whiff rate. Ooh. Those are not good numbers. Five hits, one single, three doubles. If I go game by game for this season, I hope that that's why it's gone from first to third. No, he's upping it. He's only made two starts. Is this the trick I'm getting myself into? And nothing matters what I just said. He's only made two starts. Goodbye. Thank you for watching. A guy pour through data, and sometimes there's a conclusion, sometimes there's not. Goodbye.